Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our benchmarking session. And thanks for joining us. This room is way more comfortable than the one we were in, so you're gonna enjoy being here. We have a couple of really exciting speakers. I mentioned earlier when we were talking about the benchmarking session that I think this is a topic area that has really come to its time, both in terms of the convergence of regulation related to benchmarking, requiring benchmarking first of very large buildings, but then stepping down into even smaller buildings, requiring that benchmark at the sale of buildings that is really going to inform building buyers of how a seller's building compares to other options they have open to them. So I think there's a motivation now from the seller's perspective to do this that there never has been before. But, you know, equally, if not more important, from an education perspective, it'll help all of us understand what the opportunities are within those buildings to make them better. And as many of you know, the Energy Star Portfolio Manager is the primary benchmarking tool that's being used in the industry right now, but it's by no means the only one. It's been refined in many ways to be more appropriate for California applications, but there are ongoing efforts at the California Energy Commission to continue that effort to develop benchmarking tools that have a larger data set from California-specific buildings and end uses that would be a more comparable and relevant comparison for our buildings. But today we have a couple of very, very exciting speakers for you. The first person we have is Courtney. So Courtney Kalashian she's the Associate Executive Director of the San Joaquin Valley Clean Energy Organization. She's been playing a really, really pivotal role with our VIEW partnership in Southern California. She describes herself as an energy efficiency enthusiast. She's much more than that, but I think her enthusiasm is really contagious. We only had a couple of tables here filled, and she went out in the hall and rounded many of the rest of you in. So just her enthusiasm alone is going to make the tool that she's developed and is going to share with you a success, I think. She works with other team members. Maureen is here this morning as well. And she describes it as improving the quality of life in the valley through the promotion of clean energy. It's a broad statement, but I think that this tool that she's going to share with you this morning is one example of something that is going to provide very practical, useful help to local governments in understanding how to benchmark and, you know, just the nuances of how to even make this real in a local government and applying it broader in the community. So without further ado, Courtney.
Thank you, Nancy. You may have overshot by describing benchmarking as exciting, but we will do our very best. And for those of you that I roped into this presentation, I hope you don't hate me afterwards. When we first got started on benchmarking, one of the things the partner said is be brief. And I realized that it's much easier to write brief than it is to speak that way. So I will do my best with all of you, and I want to thank you, because sometimes looking at data sheets and computer programs for endless hours might not be the most exciting thing, but I think the results that benchmarking provides us is absolutely exciting. To give you a quick overview of our partnership, and I'd like to thank our program manager, Hamad, for providing many of these numbers for us. To date, our partnership has saved over 4 million kWh, which is translated to roughly $650,000 saved for our partners. Our projects to date have included pumps, wells, and lighting upgrades. Truth be told, most of our savings do come from one very large wastewater treatment plant. However, there have been other projects that have filled that in and supported us along the way. Moving forward, we see roughly 3 million kWh coming down the pipeline. In our role as partnership implementers, we do our best to make sure that we are reaching out to our communities. So we set our own goal of a minimum of 8 community outreach events a year. We try to make as many of those as possible, those really small local community events that have, you know, a very low buy-in rate to participate. Oftentimes we're at at school festivals, talking to students, we're talking to senior citizens, we're at home improvement shows. Wherever we can really make that touch is where we try to be. We also have the great pleasure of having the Energy Education Center Tulare, formerly known as the AgTac Center, which I may slip and refer to it as AgTac, and I apologize to Edison for that in advance. It just has not taken hold yet. But we do two classes a year with them. And then also our partnership is providing strategic plan support for the California Long-Term Energy Efficiency Strategic Plan. We are a 2-county, 6-city partnership with Southern California Edison and the gas company. As Nancy said, I work for the Clean Energy Organization. We are a nonprofit that serves the 8 counties of the San Joaquin Valley, but we are super excited to be working in Tulare and Kings County with our utilities there. So why benchmark? Why 3.1.1 is what I often refer to it. I passionately believe that in order to make change, you have to have good directions. And I think that benchmarking gives you those directions that you need. It allows you to see project investment opportunities. The data can be translated and put into your energy action plans. And it also allows you for targeted awareness efforts, which I'll talk about in a little bit. There's many other reasons to support benchmarking, to implement benchmarking, especially in your local governments, but also in the commercial sector as well. When the strategic plan menu options came available in 2010, ours was a new partnership. We existed briefly in 2009 in the bridge period funding, but our partners really said, we need something that's going to set the direction for us. And benchmarking, we all felt, and our 8 partners felt, was going to give them the direction they needed for this program cycle and hopefully every program cycle moving forward. For those of you in local governments familiar that are working with the DOE on your energy block grants, you may have heard the saying, it's like building an airplane while learning to fly. While our nonprofit was working on energy block grants, I hated that saying more than anything else in the world. However, once I started working on the policies tool, I really understood what that meant. This was a new area for us. It is free technology. It's a free opportunity, but we hadn't worked in it before, and our partners hadn't worked in it before. So I surveyed our 8 local governments, and I said, what do you want? And they said, well, make it easy, make it brief. They wanted it to be fun. What they actually said was, can it be less boring? But that doesn't look as good on the PowerPoint. And they wanted something colorful, which once I started looking into the resource manuals that were available, and don't get me wrong, Energy Star has a fantastic help center. They have online training sessions that you can participate in, but it's very technical. I have a binder, which is sitting in my suitcase because I didn't want to lug it around, that's this big, which is examples of resource manuals for using Portfolio Manager. They're 90 pages of just technical talk, and I said, okay, we'll make something fun and colorful if possible. And that's when we came with Benchmarking Made Easy, which we call our View User's Guide to Benchmarking Facilities through the EPA Energy Star Portfolio Manager. Whew, mouthful. This is incredibly small. I don't expect you to be able to read anything on here. So I'm going to go through it quickly. But what these pages are is it gets you through the step-by-step application of inputting information into the Energy Star Portfolio Manager. It covers the building characteristics, it covers all of the information you would need, it covers automated benchmarking, which is a godsend if you don't know about it. And then it gets to my favorite piece, and I'm going to skip out of the PowerPoint and actually pull it up on the large screen so you can see. But we titled this section, let's see, where are we? Nope, past it, full screen. Okay, there we are. Okay, I love it. How do I create a benchmarking policy in my local government? And this could probably be adapted and said, I love it. How do I create a benchmarking policy in my business? I love it. How do I do a benchmarking policy for my own building that I have? What you need to determine is your goals. That's the first and foremost piece. Why are you using it? For our local government partners, it ties really nicely into identifying how they can support their goals under the Southern California Edison Energy Leader Partnership Model. But what they also can do is it helps to determine a needs hierarchy for your retrofits and investment spending. So those are 2 very simple goals. You can look at other goal opportunities. And then second, you want to get your team together. In our partnership, we have our 8 energy champions who are the ones that attend every meeting, that are our go-to contacts in the cities and counties, but they can't shoulder the responsibility on their own. So our hope is, and I steal this term from the city of Beaumont, when they said, you have to identify your green sleeper cells. And those are the people within your communities that are out there that have a passion for what they're doing. But at the same time, it might not be part of their everyday jobs. And what you want to do is you want to find those people that may be passionate about it and have an interest that are willing to support your needs. And so once you get your team together, you determine what your effort strategy is going to be. There's options that are no cost, low cost. You can implement an awareness campaign within your local government, or also you can take part in an energy audit. Once you have this little team of support behind you, you know what your goals are going forward. You want to make your commitment formalized. This is something that the United States EPA provides. It's simple. You just input your language into it. Often because a local government is already a part of a formalized partnership, this is something that can easily be accepted. But it's also great to take advantage of your local public affairs or government affairs, whatever they call it, in your utility service area, because they can be so helpful in moving small pieces like this along, to explaining to your council members, this isn't huge legislation. This isn't something that's going to uproot your community. This is just a simple piece that supports the efforts of what we're already doing. So if you don't have fantastic relationships with your local public affairs, I encourage you to, because they are there to help you, and they will make this process so much easier for you. The fourth step, once you've made your commitment formal, is to track your progress. And this is where we get back to Portfolio Manager being pretty amazing. Portfolio Manager has an area where, under General Facility Administration, you can actually look at what the improvements are that you've made and the energy that you've saved for those and the amount invested. You can't actually track specific projects on a specific building, but what it lets you do is it sees a nice overview of the efforts you've made. If you said, we've done no energy projects in the last year, we're starting one now, then you start to see, based on what your energy use is and based on what your amount paid is, how you're saving and where you're saving. And finally, the most important piece, in my opinion, and this is from somebody that does not work in an actual local government, so it may be different for all of you, recognize those achievements of the people in your areas that are making this possible. You can recognize those as individuals, as teams, and as facilities. As individuals, if somebody has a fantastic idea that you'd not thought of or that you'd never considered implementing before, acknowledge them. If there are teams, you know, these sleeper cells that we speak of for green movement, you know, really, if they're out there in their departments and they're working hard to be that leader in their area, please recognize them. Or you can even look at it facility to facility, fire station to fire station, wastewater treatment plant to wastewater treatment plant. You know, if you're in a partnership like ours, you have that natural friendly competition that arises and you want to do better. And we see it. When one place does a pump retrofit, another city says, oh, that worked well for them. I think I'd like to try it too. By doing that, we inspire each other to do better. Okay, so we'll go back to the PowerPoint at this point. We will, I hope, be able to make this available to all of you. At this point, it still needs some co-branding love, as I say, but I think it's more or less ready for most of you. Okay. This is Maureen. That is Maureen. Maureen tells me this is what she looked like before I started making her work on the benchmarking project. It's a lot of time with a spreadsheet, and it might not be the most exciting information, and Maureen's been a godsend to our local governments because she's been assisting them to really understand where their information needs to come from and what the information needs to include. However, to do that, we needed to go through with all 8 jurisdictions and get our scissor forms so that we could have access to their data. We also wanted to make sure that once we got this utility account data, and because we are a 2-utility partnership, we had reporting from both Edison and the gas company, which doesn't necessarily match up when they give it to you. So Maureen worked with the local governments to make sure that that data was translated, to say this building and this account for electric matches this account for gas. Once she was able to do that, some cities had 16 accounts, some counties had thousands of accounts. It just depends on who you're working with. Right now, she's working with the county of Tulare. And how many do they have? A couple hundred? A few hundred? Almost 1,000?
No, not quite that.
Okay. But the point is, you're going to be looking at a lot of numbers. But those numbers in the end are going to translate for you. Those numbers are going to say, this is where we need the most attention. Once the entire the account data has been assembled, we're looking at a one-time cleanup of an account portfolio. We think it's really important that the information that's put into Portfolio Manager is also available to the jurisdictions. For a local government, you might not realize what accounts are attached to what building or what pump or what streetlight, and we've realized that in this project. So one of the things that we're trying to do is help our jurisdictions identify and make their accounts more efficient as well. We created a template for the Portfolio Manager upload, which really will take this nice cleaned up account data and it'll drop it all into Portfolio Manager. And this is the step where Maureen gets to travel to every single one of our jurisdictions and do one-on-one trainings. The Benchmarking Made Easy handbook is something that will travel with her. It is a living document, so it is something that can be updated and changed. When she goes to these jurisdictions, she'll be training them on how to take this data, drop it into Portfolio Manager, put it into the automated benchmarking system, and then what that'll do is they'll say, fantastic, now I have all of this data. What am I going to do with all of this data? We're hoping that more than one person will be in the room for the training, because that's the point of it, because we don't want the burden to fall on one person alone. When they go through the training, they'll be have the opportunity to ask questions like, what do I do with this data? And she can say, oh, well, you know, part of our strategic plan, we're working on energy action plans for you as well, and that's going to translate into your energy action plan. It helps you identify really where your investment spending can be best used. And this is a lovely quote, again, from the EPA, and you can read through it as you want, but one of the things that we have to consider is local governments can do all of these. They can achieve sustainable energy cost savings, be leaders in energy and environmental issues, raise public awareness, but you can't do this without really good directions. And that's where we go back to looking at benchmarking as our roadmap. When you have good directions, you really know where you're going to spend your time. And none of us have time anymore, especially in local governments. You don't have time, you don't have money. So if you've got the directions to set you forward, this is really going to make it a more efficient process. So you're not only looking at energy efficiency, you're looking at people efficiency as well. And in our own conversations in our office, one of the things that we always say with every project we start, when Vue goes away, this has to be able to continue on its own, which is why we did an actual tangible manual. It's not something that's state of the art. It's really very simple. It's very easy. And that was the point of it, because I'm not a technical person. I mean, my background before energy was in event design. So if you give me this data, it's not going to make sense to me. So I figured if we were looking at something and I was able to understand it, then maybe an intern that a local government brought in would be able to understand it more easily, which would reduce the amount of training time that a natural resources manager might have to spend in the training. We want it to be something that, as there's staff turnovers in our local governments, that this can be handed on. So it's not, we do this because we do it. We do this because it makes a difference. And that's the reason why we're doing this, because it does make a difference. When you start investing smart, it's the same with your own money. When you invest smart, you see greater returns. When you invest smart in energy efficiency, you see greater returns. And our whole purpose in this is to make it sustainable for our local governments so that they can continue making energy efficiency a priority. I will note, I entered our phone number wrong. I am sorry, it is 877, not 800. If you have any questions, you're gonna wanna contact Maureen, because I'm not the person to ask, I promise. I will redirect you to her, but I'm happy to take any questions at any time. And none of this would be possible without our utility partners. So over the course of the last 2 years, we've had a lot of people from both utilities that have supported our efforts. So very quickly, I'd like to thank Paula Moraes from the gas company, as well as Frank Loro, who's no longer with us, Greg Haney, Jesse Langley, Hamad Chaudhry, from Southern California Edison. Also, those that aren't here are our account manager, Mark Aquino. He's the one that provides us with all the data and makes sense of it for us. And then our public affairs team, which is Bill Delane, Cal Rossi, and Brian Thoburn, They make communication with our jurisdictions easy, smooth, and super great for all of us. So again, if you're not in a good relationship with your public affairs, do, because they become a backbone for the work that you're doing. And if there's any questions, I'm happy to take them. And if not, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Courtney. And I think the title of the tool is perfect, Benchmarking Made Easy, because it really does step you through each step of the process. And I think for a lot of local governments, it's just been that first step, getting past that first step, that's been the most valuable. So I'm going to, just a quick question before I open it up. Courtney, can you tell me who within the local governments, is it the facility manager, the city manager? Where are you finding the right entry point to send this message to get the engagement on benchmarking?
It's different with every one of our jurisdictions. Some of our jurisdictions have, you know, hundreds of thousands of residents, and they are lucky enough to have a natural resource conservation manager. One of our jurisdictions has 5 employees, and I'm pretty sure that the police chief is also, the public works officer is also the janitor. So it's really getting out there and understanding who it is. Our energy champions have been the ones that have helped us, and that, I don't know if it's unique to Southern California Edison, but our primary contacts are our point of entry, and they're the ones that say, well, this might not be my role, but this is the person that you want to talk to. And they make that introduction for us. And by doing that, we automatically gain more credibility.
Great. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go ahead and open it up to some questions. We do not have a portable mic, but if you wouldn't mind, just please shout out your question. And if necessary, we'll just repeat it for you. So questions for Courtney and or Maureen. Laurel?
Okay, for the recording, the question is the benchmarking manual enough, or is the hand-holding, quote-unquote, a required piece that comes along with it?
Exactly.
Okay. We actually, for the on-site training, when you're not looking at travel time, I think we've done an hour and a half to 2 hours as it tops out. We're trying to be as respectful as possible of the local government personnel time, and we also don't have a lot of attention span for it ourselves. I love Portfolio Manager. I love benchmarking, and even I get bored of it after like 20 minutes, so thank you all for sitting through this. I think that I wouldn't call it hand-holding. I think I'd call it gentle guidance is the best way of looking at it, but I think that's necessary. Because your passion, your enthusiasm for the effort makes perhaps that facilities manager feel like they're not going at it alone. Like this is not something that they have to do, but understanding that there's people that they can contact. And I think that that gentle guidance also brings in the full team approach. And I sit up there and thanked our partners as though it was the Academy Awards because we have such a great team approach. And then a facility manager isn't just saying, it's just me, but he knows, oh, I can contact Courtney, I can contact Paulo, I can contact Hamad, I can contact anybody, and I know I'm going to have the support. So I think that in-person training translates that support step one step further than just saying, here's a manual, and good luck to you.
Mm-hmm. And Courtney, quick follow-up to Laurel's question. I know you said you were cleaning up the document, but mm-hmm. when it's ready, how will others be able to access it?
Okay, so this might be a more technical question for Maureen, and you can just nod at me when I get things correct or wrong. Each individual portfolio manager account, you have view access or share access. We are creating those accounts, and we're actually just creating generalized Gmail accounts for each city, so it would be City of Tulare benchmarking or City of Tulare portfolio manager @gmail.com. This way it's not getting trapped by their own sensors on email, but it also allows whomever comes next to access it without, you know, a fancy password or having to have the email address of the person. So we really are trying to make it so when it's shared through the system or when it's read-only through the system, somebody else can come in and pick it up. And that's the whole point of it, is just to make it as easy for somebody to pick it up and move forward as possible.
But your tool in particular, the Benchmarking Made Easy tool?
The Benchmarking Made Easy tool?
Yes. How will they get access to that?
Well, we will have it when it's allowed to be shared on the VIEW website.
Okay.
So it will be able to be downloadable at any time.
Marilyn?
Okay, well, the question is, how does EMIS, Energy Management System, interact with Portfolio Manager? And so, Marilyn, I'm going to say this is a technical question. And the way I look at it is I've turned Maureen into a human energy management system. And for lack of greater funding, for lack of time, we went the one-time only in-person route. And I couldn't tell you how it actually interacts with a particular system or not. And maybe one of my program managers might know the more technical information, but I apologize, I don't.
So actually, Marilyn, let me take a stab at that. So Energy Star Portfolio Manager is based on a national database. So you have similar types of buildings that have been cataloged within their database. And when you put in your building characteristics for an office building in California, you get compared to other office buildings nationwide or hospital or whatever. With EMIS, what you're actually able to do is do that comparison on a much more local level. So LA County, for instance, has data on all of their own facilities. And with all the other cities that are going to tap into the EMIS system, they're going to be able to compare their libraries with all the other libraries that are in the LA County database for EMIS, for instance. So it's a different type of a benchmarking tool. You're not going to get the same type of scoring that you do with Energy Star Portfolio Manager, which is based on this national database, but you'll get very useful information to compare usage for like types of end uses within everything that's in their database. So you'll get a lot more specific data, but it'll be localized.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Other questions for Courtney? Paula?
Well, to date, because we started this piece during budgeting, we haven't been able to do a full complete city. City of Hanford is probably the first city to get all, is that correct, to get all of their data in? And I think that what we'll see over the summer as they actually start getting into understanding it is yes, because they're already surprised that they have facilities that have accounts that they didn't know about. So I'd imagine looking at the performance is going to be a surprise for them also. And so the question is regarding process, and yes, we actually are starting with a benchmarking. I am a big believer that data sells, and so I think that having this data available to the jurisdictions when they go to their councils or to their board of supervisors and say, we want to pass this policy within our own jurisdiction, and we have this data already available, then you intercept the question of saying, well, how are we going to do it, and what's going to happen? It becomes a much easier process for them to accept. So we definitely are starting with the data first and then doing the policy second. I think the policy is a really natural natural flow from what the partnership resolution is anyways. I think this is just narrowing in on something to support the strategic plan.
Mm-hmm. And just to clarify, for those of you that are hearing these numbers, 3.1.1, et cetera, and may not know what that means, it's actually an item on what we refer to as the strategic plan menu. It's a menu of task items that local governments have been able to select from to work on. The utilities developed it in conjunction with the PUC in support of the California Long-Term Energy Efficiency Strategic Plan. 3.1.1 is actually the item for developing and adopting a benchmarking policy. So just to clarify for those of you that may not have known all this numbers speak that we're doing.
Okay, I'm going to defer to Maureen. That's more specific than what Portfolio Manager gets into, correct? Yeah, I think that Portfolio Manager doesn't give you that narrowed in, diving in look at something. What it does is it gives you an overall look at your portfolio as a whole, as opposed to the individual pieces and times and hourly rates.
And actually, back to Marilyn's question, I believe that EMIS will give you more real-time comparisons.
I want to also just point out that we have in the room Mark Jewell over here, who's been doing a tremendous amount of work up in the North Bay area, or in the Northern California in this area, on doing workshops. So he has all the nitty-gritty information, all the technical information on Energy Star Portfolio Manager.
So I think one of the things you're hearing on this topic is that it's such an emerging field, and things are changing and evolving daily. So this particular tool that Courtney and her team have developed is a starting point. A year from now, it may not look like that, but I think what you're hearing is that as local governments start to enter into this arena, they're needing something to just help them get started, and really want to applaud Courtney and her team for what they've developed here. So let me give a big hand for Courtney and Maureen.
Thank you.
And if we have time at the end, we can come back to broader questions as well. But let me now introduce Maria Sanders. Maria is the lead staff at the City of El Cerrito on energy management and climate planning initiatives. She's going to be talking about work that she's done in conjunction with several other local governments in developing some benchmarking strategies as well as energy management strategies. So this whole area of work is really interconnected. She's also involved in the development of the city's climate action plan and implementation of energy efficiency in general. She has over 20 years of experience in this field, working with local governments on urban environmental issues, and has a master's degree in both urban planning and landscape architecture. Maria's from Northern California, so we're going to hear some perspective on how the Northern California cities have tackled this problem and what progress they've made. So welcome, Maria.
Okay, so as she said, I'm Marie Sanders, and I'm the environmental analyst of the City of El Cerrito. And I'm just curious here to how many folks are currently working with Portfolio Manager, because this kind of benchmarking includes a lot of other kinds of tools, but Portfolio Manager is the topic of the day. So many folks are pretty familiar with the tool. And I have to say that I am also not an expert on the tool. I am one of those hassled, what I call the accidental energy manager, that has a lot of things on my plate, and it's hard to wrap myself around just one thing. But at the same time, I am a lead person in the city on energy and climate issues. And I have to say that for a small town, we have about 24,000 people in the town, but and it's pretty rare for a city of our size to have more, even one half of an environmental staff person, much less one that actually is specializing on climate and energy issues. And at the same time, cities with populations of less than 50,000 constitute about 80% of the communities in California. But because of the lack of our resources, that means most of us do not have a clue how to even begin to think about our energy issues in the city. So I've called this presentation Benchmarking in the Accidental Energy Manager, because staff in small cities are asked to wear many hats. And because of local government climate initiatives, many of us are also being tapped to be energy managers. The folks that I'm working with, we have the recycling coordinator, a clean water compliance person, assistant planner who spends most of his time at the building counter, are the people who are actually being tapped to be the energy managers, just simply because they were the person who touched the climate action plan first. So that is kind of the landscape that 80% of the communities in California are dealing with. And I don't know if there are other people here that are kind of in the same boat. Like she's saying that the police chief is also the public works director. So as local governments, you really understand the issue that you're, you know, having to do C3 compliance at the same time that you're having to try to figure out portfolio manager or how to benchmark or how to even think about your buildings in terms of energy use. And so this is a story about how these small, our four small cities have been using benchmarking as the first step in building internal capacity for energy management, and how we at the City of El Cerrito used portfolio manager to discover a misbehaving HVAC system that was costing us a fair amount of money. And I'll try not to go into this too much because we've already talked about it a bit, but I'd like to provide a little bit of context about how benchmarking, especially portfolio manager, kind of fits into this statewide local government energy context. AB 1103 was passed in 2007, but the main thrust of the act mandates that commercial buildings have their portfolio manager benchmarks disclosed at the time of sale or lease, which basically means all commercial buildings in California that are benchmarkable and are sold or leased need to have their buildings inputted into portfolio manager. Seems it's a little bit harder than that small statement actually entail describes, and but since the good thing for local governments is that since 2009 the utilities have been required to allow the customer use energy data to be automatically uploaded into portfolio manager. This has made it possible for energy use of all commercial buildings, including the local government buildings, to automatically be entered in every month into Portfolio Manager. So essentially what we got was local governments now have a free energy management system, or energy management tool, software tool, which requires no monthly bill data inputs, which is proving to be a really big deal because nobody wants to spend, you know, a lot of time inputting a lot of different data every month for 100 to 1,000 counts. In addition, even though local governments don't have to benchmark their buildings, unless they're planning to sell or lease their buildings, but that doesn't happen very often, benchmarking was identified as an important strategy in the state energy efficiency strategic plan. So we've talked about that goal, which is basically that local governments should lead by example in their own facilities and energy usage practices. And an example of this leadership is to establish benchmarks for all of your local government buildings, and then also to basically strive. I mean, the whole point of establishing benchmarks is so you can figure out how to strive for greater efficiency gains. So by benchmarking our buildings and by using benchmarking to continuously improve energy efficiency in our buildings, we can help make benchmarking more of a norm for the commercial entities that do have to input it. And we can demonstrate the worth of benchmarking, because right now I don't think that that's obvious to a lot of folks. But this is a pretty tall order for local governments that do not have any energy management capacity. That's why El Cerrito combined forces with three other small cities that found themselves in the same situation. These cities are San Pablo, Albany, and Piedmont, and then we have a nonprofit partner called Strategic Energy Innovations helping us out. And we formed this coalition. We call it the Small Cities Climate Action Partnership, or SICAP for short, to collectively pursue GHG emissions, GHG emissions reductions. And the idea behind SICAP is that the small cities everywhere do not have the financial and staff resources to individually pursue emissions reductions, but through peer exchange and sharing tasks and consultant resources, we could achieve greater results. In 2009, we were awarded a grant to pursue this model through the EPA's Climate Showcase Communities program. So as a part of that grant, we have four main categories of work, but the one that's the one that's most relevant here is we're doing a municipal energy management planning and retrofits. So for the municipal management energy management component, we're embarking on creating 5-year energy management and efficiency investment plans. But none of us really have an idea of how our buildings are performing energy-wise. And historically, none of us have had any history of ever analyzing our energy bills. And I'm just kind of curious as well as how many other folks who are local government reps who don't think that there's a one central place where energy bills are being kept and analyzed, especially for energy usage. Just one. Everybody else has got their energy bills totally dialed in? Really? Wow. Okay, so I'm talking to the wrong crowd here.
No, Laurel's shaking her head.
Okay, good. So maybe it's either that you guys are all you guys are here because you have an energy management person who can attend the conference. So our first course of action is to use Portfolio Manager to benchmark our buildings, and basically to get a snapshot of what buildings are performing badly, so that we knew where we could focus attention, and that's exactly what you were talking about, and Courtney was talking about. Then we'd audit them for both their electricity and natural gas savings, or where they're misbehaving, and develop projects and project budgets from those audits. Put them into our energy management plans, and then try to find funding for those projects. But getting our buildings into Portfolio Manager has been a harder task than we initially anticipated. We worked with Mark Jewell in December of last year. We did several workshops with him, and we were like, okay, we're going to get these stuff into the thing. And then like 5 months later, we still hadn't gotten most of our data in. So there is we talked a little bit earlier about bureaucratic inertia. It's not even so much bureaucratic inertia because we're all working our butts off, but at the same time, we are. It's just getting a hold of that data is. It really takes a lot of concentrated energy. You need to have a lot of command of the nitty-gritty data, and this is just some of the stuff that you have to have command of. And you need to dedicate real concentrated time to make it happen, which none of us had. So fortunately, in the East Bay, we have access to the East Bay Energy Watch, and we have one person here from there. Anybody else from just Martin Bond? He's the small commercial energy efficiency provider up there, which is part of their efforts on the strategic plan goals is working with local governments to get them into Portfolio Manager. Through their municipal implementation team, they have someone who's dedicated to understanding the data and the input requirements of Portfolio Manager so that we don't have to become the experts for this one-time effort. So since Portfolio Manager is only good if the local government actually understands it and uses it, they require that the staff also attend some workshops. And so we had already done that requirement by working with Mark. And those workshops are being sponsored throughout the Bay Area on a regular basis. So once we got into the system, it was fairly easy to use in order to get a snapshot of some of our buildings. And here's a snapshot of our City Hall, which we've El Cerrito's finally got all of our buildings into Portfolio Manager, and all the benchmarking is working now. And this is a snapshot of City Hall, and basically what it's telling us is that since February 2010, the building's energy use has been rising every year, and our benchmark has fallen about 11 points from a grand total of when we first got the building up and running. It had a benchmark of 50, and it's fallen to 42. This is actually the story I want to tell. Speaking of City Hall, is that it's a brand new LEED certified building, which was first occupied in 2008, and it was commissioned late in 2009. It's a pretty comfortable building. It's new. It's got an energy management system, but we don't have a facilities manager, and the energy management system does not have an easily accessible interface. So the building's energy use is not really being monitored. So no one suspected that the building might be out of whack or costing us an extra $10,000 a year to run. I kind of suspected because I was seeing the energy trends, but the person who's the point person for really working on this on the building is our building official, and he is immensely busy. And so it was a matter of kind of getting his attention on this as well. It was really great that once we had the building benchmarked, all I really needed to do was say, we have this LEED certified building, its benchmark is falling, and it started at about 50. So that just kind of like immediately we were able to get the HVAC engineers to come out and analyze the data coming off of the energy management system. So what we're finding out, this is just a little side story here, is that the reason it's been performing badly is that our it's a new building. We've been kind of expanding our IT capabilities as well, and that's kind of like the locus for a lot of for a lot of our servers. So what we've been finding out is that our IT guy has been putting a new server rack into his office, and that office actually coincidentally has the thermostat that controls the second half of the second floor. So that's causing the HVAC, what the HVAC guys are calling a renegade zone. And that's causing the central cooling system to run excessively just to satisfy that one office. And it's cooling pretty much the whole second floor. And that's basically while the other zones are calling for, and then the rest of the building is saying, hey, we're too cold, so it's calling for, so it's reheating at the same time. So essentially, we've been heating and cooling our building at the exact same time for probably about a year now. And Portfolio Manager helped us figure that one out. So another cool thing about Portfolio Manager is that you can set target benchmarks, which can help you determine the amount of energy reductions that you'd need to make a certain kind of rating. This is basically when you set it. I basically set it for 75. I wanted to see what it would take to get to 75, so that 75 is like the magic number that allows you to start thinking about becoming Energy Star Award, you know, applying for an Energy Star Award. So if you're above 75, your building's doing pretty good. So we, you know, as a, given that it's a LEED certified building and it was commissioned, which was commissioned and it never got a benchmark above 50, I was a little concerned that, you know, maybe we would never ever get to 75, but I wanted to check it out. And Portfolio Manager computed that what we'd need to reduce our to get to that benchmark would be that to reduce our energy output by 23%. Or reduce our energy load by 23%, and that would get us the score of 75. That may be ambitious, given the history of the building, but it seems like a very reasonable target, especially given the kind of retro-commissioning that we want to do on the building as a result of our HVAC investigation. And so we're building it into the scope of work, at least in terms of the retro-commissioning, to see what we can kind of target, if we can actually target that kind of energy reductions. So in conclusion, I'd like to go over the pros and cons of that we've identified in Portfolio Manager. Amongst the SICAP partners, we've been having this kind of raging debate about how cities can best keep tabs on their energy use and costs, or small cities can, especially for the GHG monitoring purposes, because for some of these communities, that's the more important thing than the energy management component. With our energy costs ranging from, you know, maybe about $200,000 to $500,000 per city, the debate has been, does it really make sense for us to invest in energy management software that has all the bells and whistles that may cost tens of thousands of dollars to initialize and use every year? And we definitely have been going back and forth on this a lot. Because Portfolio Manager is free and it has these automatic monthly uploads, a pro is for the Portfolio Managers that it can really it can function as something of a default utility bill monitoring software. Another pro is that it's really unbeatable in being able to provide benchmarks for your buildings. It's a nationally evolving database of buildings, but the caveat, if you have rateable buildings. If you're inclined, you can keep it, and also if you're inclined, you can keep on top of when your buildings would be eligible for Energy Star, and you can also monitor your energy use over time, regardless of whether you have rateable buildings or not. But the cons are that the majority of the buildings in a local government portfolio aren't rateable under portfolio manager. For the SICAP cities, this ended up being only three buildings. They were all city halls out of the 40 buildings that we have and that we've inputted into the system. And my understanding, though, is that swim centers, fire stations, and police stations are very close to being rateable, so that will expand our capability considerably in terms of a benchmark. Another con is that the input is pretty fussy, and there's a bit of inflexibility in input. So if you don't get it right the first time, sometimes you have to start all over again, and that's a bit of a drag. Definitely need to develop a certain amount of expertise to do it right. But for us, the jury is out on whether we could really use it to create a comprehensive view of our corporate energy use. We haven't gotten all our streetlights and our irrigation pumps and our irrigation controllers and our stormwater pumps and our traffic signals and everything else. That's actually the majority of our energy costs are those costs, and we haven't put those into portfolio manager yet because, you know, the utility, we're still kind of like, is it better for us just to have a much more flexible system that would that we could use to look at our energy use, greenhouse gas emissions and costs over departments, accounting funds, different types of facilities, different uses. So we've been kind of going back and forth on that one, mainly because, I mean, we would rather have an energy management system. We'd love the benchmarking feature of portfolio manager, but we would rather have an energy management system that actually was cost effective for us in order for us to have that kind of flexibility. So thank you so much, and I'll answer any questions if anybody has some.
Again, when that city hall was constructed?
2008.
2008?
Yeah, late 2008. So it was it was occupied late 2008.
And the commissioning was done at the time that it opened?
A year later. Yeah. I haven't checked on the other four cities. I know that they're still in the process of getting their portfolio manager inputted. So I don't really know, but I suspect that they're probably a little bit worse off simply because they're much older buildings. And, some of them actually haven't been able to be benchmarked. I mean, and some of them are like one of them in particular is actually a retrofitted motel. So. I mean, it's a beautiful motel, but it's retrofitted from, so it wasn't really meant to be a city hall. It was meant to be a motel. And it's got a very, very strange system. Yeah, we really wanted to do that amongst our small cities. And actually, I'm not really a part of this conversation, but my understanding is that through Strategic Energy Innovations, we have an innovator pilot grant to kind of extend this model to several to other small cities in the area, and so there's a couple other cities that are joining on, and I think that we'll probably be joining more throughout the progress of the grant. We originally thought that we were going to do a city hall competition, but when we only had three out of the four, it gets a little, not that interesting. But EBU, and this is a conversation that I have to have with the East Bay Energy Watch folks, is they have access to, they're sharing data internally of all the local government partnerships that they're putting there, that they're putting into the system in the East Bay. So they'll have a huger, a much larger kind of pool to work with, and those kinds of competitions probably work in a better situation. I'd like them to have the small city, big city classes, but of competition. But I think that's a good way to kind of get people motivated.
Tell us a little bit about how your association with the other cities started in this effort for the communities out there that don't have these partnerships already formed. Can you tell us about how you got going?
Yeah, all of us are kind of share the San Pablo Avenue corridor, except for Piedmont. What was actually the big impetus for us to come together was when the energy efficiency conservation block grants came together, and there was a lot of conversation about how small cities would access those funds since they didn't get formula grants. And so at one point we all thought that it might be important for us to come together for more of a collaborative approach on it. That ended up not being that one, but that's one of the reasons why we went with the EPA. We went for the grant for the EPA Climate Showcase Communities was because we already had the group together. We always are talking to each other. In general, there has always been kind of a relationship between the small cities on various issues because it's just an easier conversation to have between us as peers than for us necessarily to be talking to a city of Oakland or a city of Berkeley, even though we have conversations with them as well and work with them as partners as well. But they just don't have the same problems that we have. They do have energy managers or transportation coordinators or even pedestrian coordinators. So it's easier for us to have to try to tackle our problems as a one group of small cities. Yeah, that's one of the things that we do have as a part of our EPA grant. Water savings is one component of it as well. And yes, we do want to tackle that. Our water bill is almost comparable to our energy bill. There's quite a few measures that we can take to make it to reduce that. In fact, we did... a great median, bay-friendly median landscaping program all along San Pablo Avenue, and that's pretty much reduced our annual water use for those irrigation accounts by about 3 million gallons. So just by making that switch and doing some smart irrigation meters. Or controllers. So we do really want to have that. Again, that's a crucial for us to be able to monitor our GHG emissions as well, since water is included in our climate action plans. So we do want to have that in there. Again, it's not as easy to facilitate because you do have to do, we have less water accounts, but we still have to manually input them. And right now that's our, I don't know if I can convince our one accounts payable person to manually enter those as well into Portfolio Manager. So we have to kind of figure out another way around that one. And maybe it ends up being that it is more of a utility bill management system instead. Great. Thank you.
So before we close up the questions, does anyone have anything else they'd like to ask Courtney, since you've had a little bit of time to think about it?
Do you have the same issues with a lot of your buildings that you weren't being able to put into portfolio management?
We're putting everything into portfolio manager for our cities. And the reason why we're doing that is not because we're trying to get the benchmarking score out of it. With the exception of maybe one or two leaders, our cities aren't going to have financially have the opportunity to invest in energy management software otherwise. They didn't, going into this process, have a good handle over their portfolio of energy use. So what we're trying to do to make this more of a culture of energy savings, to make it more of a core value within each of our individual jurisdictions, is give them their account data in one place. So even if portfolio manager is technically not structured to handle things like pumps and lights, we're able to manipulate the system a little bit so that we can at least have the account, the address, and all of the information that goes along with it in one place, because portfolio manager has the beauty of exporting so easily to Excel. We're just trying to provide them a tool that they can use in the future if they are able to invest in a true energy management software program. So yes, there's a problem in that not everything's going to be benchmarked, but everything will have a home in Portfolio Manager. So instead of doing 20% of buildings, we're looking at, you know, in excess of 85%. In my brain, I look at 100% of every account that each city has will be entered into Portfolio Manager.
And I'd like to say that we have a similar strategy, which is that the idea is that we want to get everything into Portfolio Manager for the automatic upload functions of it, because then if we do end up going to an energy management system, we're able to just export that into the energy or into the utility bill management system. So that's another reason why we're really hoping that we can kind of convince our water utility to maybe do some type of upload as well. The reason being is that there are fairly decent cost effective energy management or utility bill management software out there that it's not going to cost us 10% of our entire energy load, so we're investigating those, but none of those would actually have an automatic upload system, but they do have a system that allows you to, you know, download stuff from an Excel format. So that's kind of one of our strategies, ultimately.
And I'd like to comment on it. One of the real beauties of Portfolio Manager, even for those other spaces that he referred to, especially when you're in a two utility area and service area, like I said, you're not going to be getting your data coming across in the same format. And I think that that's one of the beauties of this, is it allows you to see what you're getting from one, because the utilities look at accounts differently. I mean, we'll have one building that'll have 7 Edison accounts and 1 gas company account, and it's just a matter of how they manage their own meters. I'm using meters and accounts interchangeably, which they shouldn't be, but I think that's the beauty for a small city that doesn't know where to start. This is the place where you look at, this is my gas data, this is my electric data, and here in Portfolio Manager, you're looking at them as, this is my city hall energy use, and so you're getting a complete picture on it.
I think Mark can answer that better than us.
Any other questions? How about before we wrap up, we have a couple of minutes. I know a number of you, Mark was generous enough to speak up, and I know a number of you have been having your own experiences with benchmarking in your own local jurisdictions. Any good stories to share? Any best practices to share with the rest of us?
And as a resident of the city of Fresno, I will say it's a beautiful building. It's just not efficient, but it's absolutely gorgeous. If you've not seen it, plug for Fresno. You should look at it online.
And anyone else have any benchmarking stories to share? And I think there were some extra flyers on that floating around. Where are they?
She was going to leave them.
Yeah. Oh. Could you hold that up?
There are actually a lot of fantastic trainings, and this is one of them that are available. I don't know who's familiar with the San Joaquin Valley. We're looking at an incredibly geographically vast area that we cover. I mean, it's from one city to another. In our own partnership, it's an hour and a half drive. So for us, one of the things we're trying to take advantage of is that in-person training. But because Maureen and I have both participated in other trainings that are provided by the utilities, they're fantastic. So if you have access to one of them, I highly encourage you to take part in them. I know that they're available online as well. So I think it's just a great resource that the utilities have provided to all of us.
And the flyers for the training Mark mentioned are on this front center table. So anyone that's interested in that, feel free to pick up a copy. Any, Laurel?
I know, I'm really bummed that it's filmed. Just don't let anybody in my city know about it. Well, it was also a low bid that had a lot of problems with it, so we were not entirely surprised.
Good point. Okay, well, this is obviously a very dynamic topic. I'm hoping it's on our agenda a year from now, because I think that the stories are going to be even more interesting to see how this area develops and how the tools developed and how the enforcement of it develops. But I want to thank all of you, because you've really been a very engaged, participating audience, and that's really helped the session to make it a lot more vibrant and useful for everyone here. So thanks very much, and give yourselves a big hand for being such a wonderful audience.